anyway.
Oh my God.
That's quotable.
That's
true. Well, it just kept coming back to forecast, and just kept getting bigger and bigger. I will say this though, we have the most confidence in this one because of our software and the data information that we have right now to project with. We have more confidence with this one than anything we've ever put out here.
Confidence that it's going to be
that it's going to be this much. One comment before Roger starts, I don't think he's going to cover this. The governor's budget proposal has two things that will impact this. This presumes current law, just like it is right now. The governor's proposal to use a 5-year rolling average instead of a 3-year rolling average to calculate the revenue cap would be about $1 million for us. So if that were to pass the legislature, this would drop from 8.6 to 7.6. His proposal for SAGE is a $1.3 million. If it were to pass like it is, it would drop this from then 7.6 down to 6.3. That's all in the governor's budget right now of any magnitude that affects us in the coming year. Special ed, ELL, and transportation are for the 07 school year.
His proposal to increase equalized pay
doesn't have a
solution. No, but it does affect the property tax.
Absolutely.
Was the newspaper correct that it would mean an additional $21 million in savings?
It's on high to me as well. I don't know.
That came from the ledge.
I guess it was 21 over 2 years.
It would keep it from going down. But it is definitely a plus
for the taxpayer.
Yeah, and that has a spillover effect to what we're planning, what we may plan.
Okay, as I already introduced, we feel very confident that if we can, at this point in time of making projections, we are, you know, brought to my attention as just sitting around reviewing the people who worked on this, that we had 5 certified business managers, which, you know, is the extent of our staff, and they all have certifications and experience working in public finance. And the 4 of us that were working on this finalized on Thursday, we added up, had 90 years of school finance experience among the 4 of us. So we've been doing this a long time, and feel tired. So I changed this to a Valentine, put the envelope on here today, and just our graphics to confirm it today. What we really want to take a quick walk through is going to revisit some of your own projections we shared with you in November, and highlight how those are impacting our forecast. Break down the operating budget into the segments that are important for this process: expenditures, revenues, revenues. And then we have taken the step that we have not done in the past, is doing a multiple year projection. Want to really focus in on this. The last sheet in the handout you're getting is a document that you also received in the packet, and that's a document that we're going to break down. The kindergarten projections. This is somewhat driving us, and this is our future. This is where we've seen an increase in the number of births that are in the Madison School District 5 years ago, and then our kids are continuing to increase over a period of time. That will result in our kindergarten projection population increasing over the next 4 and 5 years. So that's positive to maintaining the school district and keeping us the students support and keeping our programs going.
One comment, right? This is based on live births, so those kids already exist.
Right.
That's not today. That's not in migration.
No.
Put that in that down.
Okay. No. Strictly based on births.
So those kids exist.
Those. Yeah, and they don't know what I'm here now.
And 2,000 or so is about the size of our large classes.
I'll show that to you in a second. This is, I mean, when you get down to breaking down right now, and the details are in the handout, so you get in this area, our classes up here in high school, we're running about 2,000 range for each grade level, and those will start falling off. out here in the high schools. In middle schools, you can see their actuals at 5,300. We really start falling off in the next couple of years. Our 5,300 is up to the middle school level. So we've been very stable. We'll maintain our stability. We'll drop a little bit next year, and then be basically stable. And then actually, in 08, 09, our projections start showing us starting to actually get back up and increase, largely because of those kindergarten classes that start coming in 05, 06. So that will help us maintain stability in our enrollment. And just to give you a breakdown of graphically of how it's distributed by the levels. Operating budget, I'm going to walk through the page, that single page document, and break it down. Kind of, as I was describing this is kind of peeling, this is peeling the onion away. Starting out, I know this is the bottom line here. We have $316,822 is our total budget this year. That's the October adopted. And then we have projected our forecast as a 3.77425.5. Now, again, what makes that up, one of the factors and assumptions into that. But these are the expenses that are not under the revenue limits. Bonded debt, anything approved by referendums, food service fund, community service fund, co-op fund, and then the teach fund, which we had some things planned. So that gets us to what we consider the unfair deal with is that our operating budget. Then expenditures, as we get into the next section of that chart, what we've taken into consideration of the salary and fringe package annual increase that the Human Resources Committee gave us guidance on, using that, those factors. Non-salary and fringe expenses, we increase 2% annually. Utilities, we still feel that the current year budget will be impacted by the cost of utilities, and we will not have enough funds in this year's budget to pay for our utilities. We made adjustments for that based upon our end of year projections and inflated it another 8% going into next year. And we've heard anywhere from 5 to 12 to 15 again. And so we chose the middle ground for projecting at 8%. And in subsequent years, we've inflated at 3%, which may be a little low. But so we give out second, third, and fourth year. We're pretty conservative in there, and people transportation will actually help with that, except for our special ed transportation, which is up for review and will be renewed as of July 1st. So those are the guidelines. And that caused us then to project our expenditures. And again, we brought back the 205, but our forecast is at 302, which includes the general fund going to 276. We have interfund transfers, which are remove the double up expenses that are included in the general fund, because they're included in special ed and food service as well, and special ed fund, and then non-referendum debt, which is trust fund loans and the other loans that the board has approved or not under the referendum. And those are under the referendum as well. For revenues, we took a look at the increases that we would see. We realized we expect 3% annually in federal revenues, and that's been fairly tracking fairly accurately over the last couple of years. We've seen growth in that area. Special ed aid, though, categorically, we are projecting in our forecast to decrease it by a rate of 1% annually. And we see nothing to stop that. There's nothing in any legislation to stop that pool from declining as it relates to the cost of the school district experiencing. We do, since we were considering, current law, we do in this year, last year, and this year, we expect to receive $500,000 of high cost claim. We would expect and anticipate that if we lose that again, that's another $500,000 that we would not receive in revenue.
One point about the governor's budget: the governor's budget in the second year of the biennium would give us more money than that high cost. It actually creates a new categorical aid. This is a grant from DPI. It creates a new categorical aid for what are called high cost, low incidence special ed students. That's kids that aren't very many out, but they cost you a whole lot of money. And so it's specific to those kids. And we do have a number of those children. We haven't calculated how much that depends on what they end up doing with it. But out of the second year, the 06 or 07 forecast that passes, there would be some additional funding there.
Categorically, it's going to increase at 3% annually. Those that impacted the document that you have in front of you as it relates to local revenues, which include interest earnings, which include fee collections, which include Medicaid reimbursements, state revenues, which are those categoricals, and other revenues that we receive from the state, and the federal revenues. We get nothing. This does not include the competitive grants, this only includes those entitlements, and then some prior year levy chargeback that we have to make that we did each year.
Medicaid, we just received that. There are companies who do Medicaid reimbursement for you, and we just received somebody who told us how well they could do, and they projected what they could get for us if we were willing to pay them a fee, and they actually were going to get much less for us than we get for ourselves. So we didn't go with them.
this takes us through the projections, and I can say that we're looking very closely at local revenues, especially as it relates to fee collection. We've seen some phenomena with the increase in fees of not meeting the level of collections that we anticipated not last year, but this year. And we actually made an adjustment in our projection. And see, we didn't go up very much in our projection for local revenue. A lot of that is because we were not seeing the fee collections that we originally predicted.
Small point. Do we know what got collected for strings fees?
That's one of those fees that we're doing an internal audit right now, because we do not have the in our coffers downtown. We're not sure if they're on the schools or not. And so we're going to go through a full review of all the fees collections, including strings.
Thank you.
Yeah. As it relates to revenue limits, again, some of the parameters we take into consideration. Summer school, as we talked about, we have 465 FTE generated by our summer school operations. Help us obviously pay for a large part of the summer school program. We wouldn't have the revenue authority if we didn't have that number of students. We do, get a pre-K constant of about 122 FTE. That's early childhood. Having them gives us those kind of numbers. Open enrollment, we balanced our open enrollment.
In case everybody doesn't remember, early childhood is special ed, as opposed to four-year-old kindergarten. We're required to provide that starting at age three.
Our ins and outs for open enrollment are about even. In our projections, we maintain them to be even, or very close to even for the next three or four years. The level increase per student to $425 for Portland. Brings that number. It goes up 1.7% each year. It's not the cost per student that goes up 1.7. It's that factor that increases to 1.7. So that's what last year was, and that's what we're projecting to use for the next few years. Transfer of service exemption, $800,000 annually. We've been realizing that. That's the students that come into our district. And then we petition DPI to receive exception on the revenue limits because they're providing services like through their IP or other services that were transferred from other government entities. We actually received more this year among students that are coming into our district. And we had a special relief in that area because DPI gave us advance for those exemptions. And then integration is constant. That's another factor. As we're planning our budget, moving to the budget next phases, we've established a goal to keep the food service levy at 4%. We'll be looking at the programming that's supported by that levy, as well as including MSCR and the other items that come in Fund 80.
Did you say food service?
I'm sorry, community service.
I was saying that's part of that.
Community service.
I've got about $150,000
on that. This is the where we get to then. We get to the bottom line. As we balanced last year, after we made our $920 million cut, we were in balance. It's our projection that the support and with revenues we anticipated, that our expenditures such revenue limit would be $250 million, and our revenue limit would be $241 million, and we would have a shortfall variance of $8.6 million. Really what we're seeing is this has only gone up a little over $1 million, but that takes away the $5 million for the rental maintenance program. That was authority that was present in the 240 that we don't have over here. So we've already experienced that cut, that $5 million cut. And on top of that, we're cutting 8.6 million.
So 5 million is not deducted.
Exactly. 5 million is out for next year. We have no authority. It's not included as part of the planning that we have in place. So it's not part of the revenue as it was.
If the referendum passes, that will go up.
Right.
But it goes up as restricted funds. Yep. It goes up to be spent for very specific things. So it's not a...
So we're still at 8.5.
That's right. It's not an effect on the 8.5.
Right. It doesn't affect 8.5.
Here.
We've played this out in a four-year forecast to take it through what would be the expenditures subject to revenue limits that we would project using the factors that we talked about, the variables we explained, that would take us out to needing $289 million in 2008-2009. Revenue limit would grow, this is again without anything with reference, maintenance referendum, roughly $5 to $6 million each year. The variance is the annual variance is that this year we have $8.6 million. If we cut that and all the factors remain as we projected, we would need to cut $6.8 million next year. If we cut the 8.6 and the 6.8, the next year we'd have to cut 7. If we cut those three years, the next year we cut 6.5. That's if all the variables come true as we projected. If we for some reason decided to not cut this or have referendum authority, it went away, then the next year you'd have to cut 15. That was what happened 2 years ago when we went to the one-time relief, is that you in essence took credit here had the authority here to relieve the revenue limit, but then you doubled up the next year. And that's why it went to 9.8 million last year.
That's why when you go to referendum for operating budget, you have to do it in segments. I mean, if you're going to help yourself long term, you have to do it in segments, and they have to be continual.
Yeah.
You do the 8.6, and it's continuing for whatever years you say out here. Then you do the 6, I'm probably the next year it's continuing. Other than that, you get out to the end where you're having to go to referendum for 28 million in one chunk, because it just, as you can see, it just continues to build on itself.
Is that what some of the other school districts are doing? They're projecting long term, and then
The longest one I've seen, I think, is 3 years.
I thought McCarthy did 5.
Waukesha did
3 to 5. Is
one of the five. I think I heard about Stoughton. I think that's what.
There's 3.
I think yes.
What they're doing, what their preference is to go out and do it. You know, you're really asking for authority of 8.6. 15.4, if you do a 3 year, 22.4. I mean, you have that sustainable forever, and then you've got that point, you've got that base. And then the next year after that, then you have to cut the 6.5.
What's, do you have, and again, this is probably a conversation two sides.
I had my hand up, but
I forgot
to speak. I
know
you
did. I'm sorry. I'm on the committee?
Nobody's on the committee. Okay. I just asking, have you, worked out the numbers in terms of what it would cost a homeowner $200,000 for 22 point. I mean, obviously, that's probably a question.
I'm sure that's
a
referendum discussion, which I think Carol wants to talk about, the planning for how to make the bottom operational referendum, those are things we can calculate from your bank. We haven't done that so far.
Roger, is this really the worst case scenario, and it could be even worse in case the governor's budget is not passed? Or
the worst case scenario is they do a property tax freeze and the governor doesn't veto. The governor has said very clearly that he's going to veto. So we believe, as much as you can predict, we believe that the worst case scenario is current law,
which would be the 8.6.
Which would be the 8.6. We believe there's a fairly good chance, based on Joe's work at the Capitol, we believe there's a fairly good chance that the 5-year rolling average thing may stay in. there are a lot of Republican legislators who have declining enrollment school districts that are in deep trouble here, bigger than we are. And that helps declining enrollment school districts. That might stay in.
Which would be how much?
That's a big. The Republicans have said there's no way that Sage is going to stay in, so we'll see what ends up happening with trade-offs. But anyway, that's kind of what we think right now.
You said that if the Republicans had taken the passes, then all of this. You said some sort of property tax.
Property tax freeze is the worst case scenario for us. Depending on how they structure.
Are you saying Tabor?
Well, Tabor's another whole ballgame. It's basically the same.
Are you talking about, what about the governor's solution for a property tax freeze?
The governor's solution really doesn't affect us. His solution, first of all, the governor's solution that he proposes in his budget helps our taxpayers. Because he's given property tax relief by increasing the amount of money paid in state aid. But remember, the revenue cap is made up of two factors. How much state aid you have, and then you take that away from the revenue cap, and that's how much property tax you have. So what he's doing is he's increasing the amount of state aid, which lowers the amount of property tax.
So he's, in effect, helping taxpayers while at the same time not really hurting our schools.
That's right. He's not changing the revenue cap at all.
That's
for us.
For us.
That's right. And how much do we have to raise in property tax because we have high tax property values?
Actually, the
percentage, not raw number, how about percentage?
Our tax levy is, this year is a little over 200 million of our full operating budget.
And about the top 50 million out of some tertiary aid?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
I'm going someplace I'm going to be asked a question tomorrow.
I think about the top 50 million or so is in tertiary aid.
Well, it's actually in the sheet. It's in the package.
I don't know if you're looking for, but for every additional dollar that we spend, we have to tax a dollar.
The number I'm looking for, when you say the, you know, we talked about this before, and I guess I'm not phrasing my question right. Say the two-thirds commitment to funding.
Oh,
yeah. We're going to come two-thirds. Okay. In fact, we don't
fund about 25%.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. That's what I wanted to know. Thanks.
And the two-thirds is an average.
Right, right.
Because we get
20-25%.
I thought this would increase it a little bit, wouldn't it? 5% or so?
Yeah, it looks like 28%.
Okay, I think we're at 25, and his thing may take it to 27 or 28, something like that.
How many million is that? Pittsburgh is under 21.
Yeah, is that accurate?
I don't have their numbers, so I think they came from late year, so I just probably didn't get.
Okay. All right, you said something about the Sage is going to be limiting?
No. The governor has proposed to expand Sage. He's actually proposed to go from $2,000 per low-income child to $2,500 per low-income child. The Republicans have said that's not going to stay there. But he can veto whatever they do to Sage back to current law at $2,000.
I got you.
Other questions?
Carol, you want to say
did
you want to show us the
infamous chart,
yes,
which shows the gap. We look at expenditure subject to revenue limit using those reasonable projections that we talked about and assumptions that are built in. And if the revenue limits and those current laws stay the same, this is that gap that we had highlighted on the previous page for 4 years.
First time I ever saw this chart was 1994. They look exactly like that.
And you keep going back to zero. Because you don't have year. You mean we made $920 million for the cuts last year, and we're back to the starting
point. You're right back at the same starting point.
Same starting point that you were here. I don't have that for you.
You can put it on the.
I think this was a big.
Because she's special.
I asked for it.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah, that's special. That's special.
Well, yeah, I'm able to get this.
Well, it was. The middle-aged eyes.
This 43 million is what we're projecting on current law. for equalization aid for the school district. And this just to highlight the, you know, how the formula is it, if it maintains the way it is, we would go from $43 million to $39 million to $36 million to $33 million in general state aid over the next 4 years. And that will have an impact on our taxpayers as well on the other one. He has been running some data, just comparing, you know, trend lines on tax levies, CPI, and those kind of things. Just to get some feel for where the how things have evolved over the last few years. We went back and we ran using a starting point of 1994 as an indexing change from that year forward. We found an interesting statistic that if you index off the CPI at 1 in 1994 and then follow the percents that the trend line that has taken, it's gone up slightly over that period of time. The pink is the tax levy, the actual dollar that we have levied, and indexing again off of 1993-94 and taking it that step. It went up a little bit and then went down. And it stayed, you know, flat, and then it's worked its way up in the last couple of years. These two factors here that have brought it up to equaling the CPI, there's two specific reasons for that. One is this is the year of the referendum to add to the operational base, which is a direct impact on tax levy. And so we added dollars to the tax levy in 2003-2004. This is the move away from two-thirds funding from the state. So when the two-thirds funding or state aids decline, that's made up by the tax levy, and that had a direct impact on this relationship as well.
According to Roger's figures, CPI grew at a little bit over 30% from 93 to the present. 1993-94 to present, our tax levy grew by 28.6%. So the actual number of dollars we're taxing for grew at a slower rate than the inflation factor, than the rate of inflation.
There's some other factors too. We didn't have the exact data. We just did some extrapolation on the equalized value and the growth of property values in the city. And if you took the equalized value of the district and assumed that half of our growth in equalized value was as a result of inflation, which has been pretty formidable, that curve went up like here. So a home that was valued at a dollar here would have been even, I think, went up about 50% or 28%. So interesting comparison. So we have seen, it was in the paper this morning, the article this morning actually replicated this graph, if you index everything off in 1994 instead of 82, it showed this decline in tax rate from this year.
So the shooting was not right there.
Roger, do we know what the increase in wages in the community?
That's the CPI. Within the CPI.
It's within it. Do you know what it is by itself?
No, we don't. We use Midwest secretaries and wage earners in metropolitan. You know, compared to the other factors and the other CPIs, there was not much variance between them.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All we have, I hope.
We have some things that I want to go back over just to make sure that we're.
Is it on the agenda?
Yeah, it has to do with the to us as soon as they go with. Once they've given us the budget gap with how they're going to, what kinds of recommendations they will make to keep us under the revenue cap. And so we will get a list of proposed cuts. I've also asked them to include in that presentation any other changes that they might be providing. In other words, if we're going to give, say, like classes to another school that doesn't currently have them, or something like that. So we will know, essentially what we'll have in our hands are any significant changes from the existing budget. And if you don't have your existing budget with you, we can make sure that you get a copy. So let us know if you need a copy. Hi.
Do I want that?
You don't have to have it.
If you shift it from our yard, you lose about 20 pounds.
Yeah. It's part of our weight training.
Our wellness program.
But you're not, that's not.
It's easier to carry around and see you.
Well, there's been some concerns about, we just look at cuts and we don't put in the whole budget. And all I'm trying to make is that these are we have the existing budget and these are the changes that will be made to that budget. We won't actually get the whole new proposed budget until sometime in May.
Y'all requested that you get the cuts much earlier.
Question,
Carol.
Yeah. Is there the ability, maybe we don't know about this in front of it, is the ability to have the existing budget then with either a different color or something showing where the cuts are?
I think that's too hard.
But not by March 7th, which is our deadline for presenting.
I'm not sure if that'd be useful for the rest of the meeting or not, but maybe. Well, Matt, you guys are jumping through a lot of hoops, but if it's, that's one way for us to easily see what we can't carry forward in our same sort of budget.
What we're presenting, what we're planning to present to you is by department
the cuts
fully analyzed and with the numbers and the FTEs and the rationale and the impact. I mean,
that's fine. I know what you're asking. The thing that has to be clear, though, it'll be clear to everybody around this table, but it won't be with the public necessarily, is when we show a $4 million cut from here, we're not cutting from there. We're cutting from the same service projection.
Yeah. Right.
Because we've adjusted the projection based upon the wrong projection.
Okay.
But I know what you wanted to, we'll think about a way to show. Right. I think I know what you want to show.
The thing we have to start thinking about is the timeline. If we are going to go to referendum in May, we're talking about May 24th referendum, we have to make a final decision on that, the referendum question, on March 28th. In order to give the administration time to get the actual legal wording to us to pass on by March 28th, we will have to act on either March 14th or March 21st if we are going to put together an operating budget. The earliest the administration can get us the list of cuts is March 7th. So part of the question is, once we get the list of cuts, how do you want to proceed? In terms of public hearings, in terms of board discussion, and March 21st is the Monday in spring break for both the university and school district. March 14th only gives us a week from the time that the cuts are first proposed. We could arrange to meet sometime later in that week, or we could meet March 21st.
I would suggest, something I suggested last year was, and I know it can appear to be a lot of work, but as soon as we get the ideas or the recommendations of cuts, I think we ought to find that day, next day, lots of opportunities for public input. So my suggestion would be, and I know that people have just received it and will be digesting it, but given that the time frame is so tight, I guess my recommendation would be that same week, if we get to 7th, that same week, a series of hearings to get public input and bounce those around the city so we have different places and try to bring in, you know, populations that don't always get to our functions. I'm not going to guarantee that, but if there's ways to do it.
Carol, if I can make a suggestion, I think we don't have to get what the actual budget cuts are tangled up with whether or not you want to go to referendum for an operating budget. The amount of money is going to be the same, because I think what Carol is talking about is a decision to go to referendum or not. Not a decision about what the cuts are.
But that, your recommendation for the cuts would be on the 7th.
You'll have the cuts on the 7th. But here, my thought was, there's going to have to be $8.6 million worth of cuts. And nobody's going to like any of them that there are. So no matter what they are,
are you sure?
I'll bet. even if some of the ones we recommend aren't the ones that you end up putting on the list, nobody's going to like them either. So it seems to me like the decision to go to referendum is whether or not you want to go to the public, ask for the 8.5 or some amount there, and what the actual, you'll know the actual cuts, but I don't think you have to make decisions on what those cuts are to go to referendum for an amount of money, is my thought.
But my thought is that not that we make the decision before then, but I think last spring, we didn't go to referendum. At least some of us didn't push for referendum because I didn't get a sense personally that there was a lot of public sentiment to go forward with. It'd be nice to know that, you know, here's a list of the cuts. You know, we're not going to say the cuts we're going to make, but here's a list of the cuts. This is what it might be like. So the public knows that and can weigh in. And it's kind of a public education thing. Tell us what you think this could happen or a facsimile this could happen.
They're weighing in on whether or not to go to referendum. Weighing in on whether or not to go to the right.
Yeah, I'm sure
that's a whole different thing.
Sure, someone
that would make sense.
And they'll say, well, I don't like this item right here in the book. But I think it's important for folks to know right away, you know, what's at risk and what's potentially at risk. Therefore, given that and given high taxation, you know,
where do you want to go?
Where do I want to go? And that's what I'm going to listen to.
I think they probably structure that question.
I just wanted to ask, similar to what happened this past week, we say the 7th is the day that we'll talk about it, but will basically people know about it on the 3rd when the packet comes to our house?
Right.
Now let me ask a question. Okay, new guy, I'm
it only works for so long.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to figure a new way to do that.
April 5th.
I'm an old guy. Okay. Is there any possible way? Is it legal to go into executive session at all?
Not on that issue.
And that's because of its taxpayer money, blah blah blah, that kind of thing. I mean, that's.
Because you're a public entity, and there are only certain very narrow circumstances in which you can be in place.
Personnel issues, collective bargaining strategies,
okay.
Other
ways. Well, I mean, because, you know, basically, you're telling everybody on March 3rd. We can say March 7th all we want to, but basically you're telling everybody in the community, because cameras will be rolling and everything else. And if I remember from last year, I remember you had, you know, quasi press conference and... Basically, we knew, or the board knew, not me, but the board knew what the community knew. And so when the phone rings and it's somebody saying, well, you know, hey, I'm going to lose my job, and, you know, it's almost like, and you didn't get your packet yet.
The only way we can do it is either we do it like we did with the boundary check. In which case we release it, because the press is going to have it. They're either going to have it Thursday night or they're going to have it Friday morning.
Is there any possible way we can get it first before they get it? That's maybe the better
question. Technically, we're supposed to get it before they get back.
But that doesn't happen. That when we send that stuff out, the press many times, as a matter of fact, what I don't understand right this minute is that the press had it when nobody but me and Mary and Kinko's had it. Yeah. So it had to come out of Kinko's. I mean, I can't imagine where else it could have come from. If what we heard about the press being at Blackhawk, understanding what was going to happen, the press had the information before we got it back from Kinko's. So,
you know, which Kinko's was that? That'd be the one I'm reaching here?
No, it's the one way over there. Anyway, the only way to do it so you get it like that would be to have a board meeting on Thursday afternoon, and then you don't get it in time to look at it before you have to go to the board meeting.
I mean, that's the option. We could have a board meeting on Thursday afternoon if that means administration
gives
presentation.
Or we could not send it out on Thursday. I mean, you could take the idea that what we're going to do on the 7th is present it to you, and you know you're going to get it cold right then. At that point, everybody gets it at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, we used to get it Friday, but then board members requested them to get the stuff earlier, so we're going to get it Thursday.
Yeah, well, no, I understand that, but
our fear, PR-wise, is that the press gets the stuff,
right?
And they don't have all the background and all that other stuff, right. and they print stuff that is their interpretation of what it says,
right?
Okay, that was our real fear with the boundary change thing, and so we found it to our advantage, and I think the board's advantage to be able to answer their questions before they write something.
Jenny, what happens if when you're working at the fire department and you give stuff to deliver at home on Thursday and you don't get out on Saturday? You won't read it to them?
Oh, I call Barb and drop it off.
Okay.
Or Barb will come out and drop it off.
There's no good way to do it.
Right. I mean,
Which board of health members, if we're going to have a Thursday afternoon meeting, what are your five?
I can't.
Okay, what about that first?
You don't gain anything with Thursday afternoon that you wouldn't gain with having it on Monday night cold. You'd still be getting the cold on Thursday.
Well, at least the calendar. I know you guys do your best to try and answer some questions. I mean, you'll do a short interview with you, but if you get it all out in a place where we can all look at it, the press can all look at it all at once. Part of what's clumsy here is all these hard copies. You know, I felt bad. I was homesick that day. Barb brought me a black and white one, and the color one's coming later. it's a lot of energy going into that. What comes up now when you hit on topics is very comprehensive. Maybe there's some way if we get all to our
it takes us a little bit of time to get on the website.
But
we can do that on Thursday.
I prefer getting a hard copy.
I like the hard copy. Yeah,
I do too.
One thing, you know, when you're getting the hard copy.
I mean, the budget cuts are a little bit different than all those. I mean, all those maps and stuff are in different kinds of programs that have to be pulled together. But the budget cuts, we can send you electronically Thursday, whatever it is.
This document.
I appreciate that. I mean, sometimes it's just hard to match up with your hard copy.
We can send that to you.
But, you know.
Thursday afternoon.